Okay, welcome everybody. Good morning. Good Chodesh. Prayers for Hanukkah. We're delighted to have you join us for a morning at Yom Iyun on Bible study with our guests, Rav Nachman Liebtag and Rav David Foreman, both of whom have graced us with their presence in the past. The outline or the general... Is this on? Okay, thank you. The outline of the event is that Rabbi Liebtag will first be talking about Chidushim on Rosh Chodesh, from Bamidbar to Chagai to the Siddur. Then we'll take a short break. Then Rabbi Foreman will be talking about Yehuda encounters Yosef, the legacy of Parshat Vayigash and Tanakh, and what it means to us. And then we'll take a short break. And then there'll be a third session, which will be a moderated panel discussion, primarily, hopefully, eliciting questions from the audience related to how Rabbi Liebtag and Rabbi Foreman tend to use or analyze or approach analysis in Tanakh, and, you know, the creativity, the uniqueness of their approach. And we'll be concluding at 1 o'clock. We'll go upstairs and daven mincha. There's also a 12:45 mincha, but we'll daven mincha before the session ends. So to begin with, Rabbi Liebtag is the founder of Tanakh Study Center, pioneer of the use of the web in disseminating Torah knowledge, literally thousands, maybe tens of thousands of subscribers read Rabbi Liebtag's web coverage of the Parshat HaShavua each week. We have been fortunate enough here at Rina to have Rabbi Liebtag with us on a very regular basis. It's really contributed a lot over the last few years to our understanding of the Sefer Yechezkel and a lot of other areas. So without further ado, Rabbi Liebtag.
By way of introduction, what I want to do is explain how this day came about. First, I want to thank Bernie and Saul, who fortunately for him is in Israel, for Yom Tov. And, which Yom Tov? It's a double Yom Tov. And Mark Zitter, who we discussed this idea, which we weren't sure it should be Sunday or Monday. It's a work day. And what type of format to do. So this is sort of like a guinea pig idea. The idea is to take two different speakers, take a morning on it, the people have a whole morning when they're off, but see what happens, number one. And number two, as far as the topic, what happens is, at Rina, probably by far the shul that has the most shiurim and wants to have shiurim that are, I guess they would call intellectually challenging and not fluff. I'm sure you're familiar with that idea. And the idea of today's session was to try to have a discussion of where it's coming from. That was just what the so-called new approach. What is the new approach? You can argue. Everyone agrees there is a new approach. What's new about it? You can argue. But there's definitely a new approach. And what defines it? Which will be part of our discussion later on. The share I picked for today is, I called it Chidushim on Rosh Chodesh. Now, the title was probably a little confusing. Is it Chidushim on Chumash? Because today's Rosh Chodesh, and so on Rosh Chodesh, we're talking about Kiddushei Torah, or Kiddushim about Rosh Chodesh. So it's going to be both. To demonstrate the new approach, there was another title which they didn't use for the day. I don't think it's on there. I called it the new approach, Chadash, Chidush, or Chilul. I'll explain the three words. Chadash, is Chadash good or bad? Chadash is asr bina, anyone who knows yeshiva shirul, Chadash is asr bina Torah. Not because it's inherently bad, but it's asr. Now the joke afterwards, but after Pesach, Chadash means be patient, and that's what I want to end up with, is that things that are Chadash, but And they shouldn't be taught at an early stage, before they're ripe. So just like before the grain is ripe enough, before Pesach, and the season begins, wait and give it, and don't bring it until you thank God properly. And therefore, this approach, I think, is new, but also it's, at a certain stage in education, it's forbidden, but that doesn't mean it's forbidden forever. As opposed to Chilul, which is another way to view the approach, you're being Mechalo the Torah by, reading and trying to figure it out on your own, instead of respecting the rabbis, that would be Chilul. If it's Chadash, it's the Asr, but only Asr up until you reach a certain point. Now, at what point in your study do I begin this approach, that you can argue. But definitely, you have to wait until you have the proper respect of God and understanding of Chazal to take it to a higher level. That's number one. To do it right away, the first thing you teach when you come to high school is this new approach, and you never learn Chumash Rashi, solid. I have this argument with the teachers all the time in all the new places. They're always telling you, we want to teach this method and that method. Then learn Chumash first, because you can't appreciate the new method if you don't know, if you're not based in knowing Chumash. The other possibility of Chidush was Chadash Chidush or Chilul, because of Chodesh, that wordplay. Or is it Chidush? And Chidush has been the way Torah has been studied for thousands of years. So that was the title, and now I've been stalling a little bit because I figured there's always an arrival curve. Thanks to the good old, remember Gaussian curve? So now we can, we'll begin. To demonstrate the so-called dual approach, I want to show you how un-new it is. It's not a new approach, it's simply using your head. Reading things, the assumption that something has to make sense. The first discussion, I want to discuss the difference between Kavana and Havana. Kavana means Kavana. You daven with Kavana. Havana means understanding. And there's a big difference between Kavana and Havana. Because most people daven, hopefully daven with Kavana, and our struggle with students and with ourselves is, can I daven with Kavana? But Kavana doesn't mean I understood what I was saying. Kavana means I wasn't thinking about something else. Rabbi Mital always used to say, if you want to know what's really on your mind, ask yourself after Shmon Esrei what you were thinking about. Because the things that are really important to you, when you're concentrating on Shmon Esrei, that's what you think about, what you shouldn't be thinking about during Shmon Esrei, what you're thinking about, that's really on your mind. So the same thing. What we mean, Kavana means that you're not thinking about something else other than davening. But Havana is a different ballgame. So because Tzeis Rosh Chodesh, I want to take what's called Kedushas Hayom, which is the main section of Rosh Chodesh davening. Why is Kedushas, they call it Kedushas Hayom, I copied from the Sax Center. Why is the middle bracha called Kedushas Hayom? Just for the fun of it. Why is the middle bracha called Kedushas Hayom? Real simple question. Yeah? What's special about the day? But what is the bracha brings it to the, why is it called Kedushas Hayom? Because what's the Khatima? What's the closing? It's always the Kadesh Yisrov Azmanim, the Kadesh HaShabbat. It's always the Khatima, the closing, that's the Bracha. And therefore, now I would expect, if I want to find what's the theme of the holiday, the place I should search would be Kedushas Hayom. If I want to know what's the theme of Rosh Hashanah davening, where should I look? In the introduction to Kedushas Hayom, or in the Khatima of the Bracha. Where do we find there? Remember, Melocha Kolav Gulav Yichodecha, Vinyasei Kolav Pichorecha, the whole universal theme of Rosh Hashanah davening is right there. Now, almost nowhere in our education system, when we study the laws of Rosh Hashanah, and I always ask this to my students, has anyone in school, in their preparation for Rosh Hashanah, ever looked at Shmon Esrei, the Chatima of Shmon Esrei, Melocha Kolav Gulav Yichodecha, which mostly is, by the time they're in college, know by heart already, they have a good chazan intro. No one ever looked at those words, not just translated it, but tried to understand it, and connect it to the holiday. Let alone look in Chumash and see what the psukim about the holiday talk about. So, that's what we try to do in the so-called new approach. I don't think that's new. That's just logical. I don't think that the fact that most of the things which we call new, I call common sense. And I think they always used to be done, but they were taken for granted. So I want to bring an example of that. So we're going to take Kedushas Hayom, and we, for anyone who came in, that was all solved. Now we're going to start this year. Kedushas Hayom. Roshei Chodeshim Lamchanatata. I want to understand what we say in davening. What's that mean? God gave us, God gave who? Am Yisrael Roshei Chodeshim. What do you mean he gave them to us? What's wrong with that statement? But why do we have Rosh Chodesh? Because of the moon. It's Rosh Chodesh, a new moon, a universal, or just for us? Or did God make the moon just for us? The moon is there. Is there. Rosh Chodesh is there because there's a new moon. That's to do with astronomy. What do you mean God gave it to us? Okay. Then we say, Zman Kapara L'chol Todotam. What's special about Rosh Chodesh? It's a time of Kapara. Which means? Atonement. How do we know? What's the source of that? How do we know that Rosh Chodesh is Zman Kapara? I'll tell you the simple answer. Because Erev Rosh Chodesh is Yom Kippur Katan. I'm kidding. No, give me the real answer, yeah? Ah, very good. No, Elliot, right? No. But Elliot said, did most people realize that? I'll explain what he answered. Okay, I'll feel good. So anyone else remember why? How do we know that Rosh Chodesh is the time of Kapara? Whatever Kapara means. Why? Exactly. In fact, it's so obvious why. Why is Rosh Chodesh a time of Kapara? Because the Korban that we bring on Rosh Chodesh is not only an Olah. Every day we bring an Olah, Korban Tamid. On Rosh Chodesh, in addition to the Olah Tamid, we bring another Olah. I call it the Shmorg. We'll talk about it later on. All the different animals. But we also bring a Sir Chatat. If we're commanded as a Tzibor, as a nation, a Korban Tzibor is an offering bought by the entire nation on behalf of the nation. If we're commanded to bring a Chatat, and especially a Sirva Chatat, the assumption is it's in order to achieve Kapara. Because what do we bring on Yom Kippur? What is the day of Kapara? What's Yom Kippur in? What's offered on Yom Kippur on behalf of the entire nation? A Sirva Chatat, one inside, one outside. And if I find a Korban, a Sirva Chatat, the assumption is this is the time of Kapara. Now, can we get Kapara every day? There's special days that work better than others. If you want atonement from God, what did God give us? And a once-a-month opportunity let me use an analogy when you go to the dentist. When do people go to the dentist? When they have a toothache. Is that the only time you go to a dentist? Where's the dentist? No dentist this week? Right? You ever get a recall? Not for your car, but for your mouth? You don't have recalls here? Okay. When do you go to the dentist, even when you don't have a cavity? To get a checkup or a cleaning. Why not wait until you get a cavity?
Preventive.
It's preventive. Remember that model, we're going to get back to it. It's going to be key to understanding what I want to get across today. There's preventive medicine, and there's also, sometimes there's emergency medicine. So I want to refer to Rosh Chodesh as preventive. Zman Kapara L'chol Todotam. Now, finish it for me behind, inside. How do we know it's Zman Kapara? Finish it for me. It's right in front of you, isn't it? How do we know it's Zman Kapara? Because God gives us the opportunity to bring a present, a fancy Shmor Korban. You know, this is the fancy Olah, the Parim, Elim, and Kvasim. And in addition to that, there's also Tirei Chatat, the Chaper Badam. What's the source? To Korban and Parsha Pinchas. Now, what does it mean that God gave us that opportunity? In general, you know, every day is regular. But there's special days where God, we have an extra opportunity to get Kapara. Now, why in Rosh Chodesh as opposed to any other day? What makes Rosh Chodesh special? The idea I want to get across is, which I think is an underlying theme in Chumash on the holidays, that there's certain phenomena in nature which Chumash takes advantage of to build your spirituality. What's happening in nature on Rosh Chodesh? There's a renewal. You see that renewal, don't you? I take something that's happening, a renewal, and I take advantage of that, not just, I take advantage of something, a renewal in the solar system, in my perception of the sky, and I say, I can also use that as a time of renewal in my relationship with God, as an individual and even more so as a nation. For example, spring, on the lunar calendar, it's every Rosh Chodesh. On the solar calendar, they're the solstices, or the equinoxes. Spring is a new time of year, we call it spring fever. But something happens in the spring, things begin to grow again. Everyone knows what spring fever is. God orchestrated our coming out of Egypt to be in the spring so that we associate the spring with our redemption from Egypt. It's not that we celebrate Passover in the spring because it just so happened we came out in the spring. God orchestrated our redemption from Egypt to make this spring meaningful. You see what? You understand the connection between the two? Just like God made sure that we have a special opportunity in our natural relationship with God, remembering our redemption from Egypt, connecting that to our feelings of spring, we do something similar to that every month with Rosh Chodesh. I'm taking advantage of a phenomena in nature and using it to connect to God. And therefore, what did God give? At the same time when there's a new moon, we have a time to... that's our preventive medicine. Okay, now, let's continue in our Nusach. Now, what do we have here? Now it makes sense? Feel some? God gave us this opportunity when we would bring Sichei Ratzon, that's Ge'ulah on Rosh Chodesh, and Sirchata L'Chater Badam, Zikaron L'Chulam Yu Chvat Nafshani Atzoneh. What's that mean? Zikaron for who? Who's Chulam? Am Yisrael. How do we know that Rosh Chodesh is the time of Zikaron? What does Zikaron mean? God remembers us. We remember God. God remembers us. How do we know there's a holiday called that? Isn't there Yom HaZikaron? There's also an Israel's calendar. But Rosh Chodesh, what's Rosh Hashanah called in davening? We don't call it Yom Rosh Hashanah. We don't call it Yom Rosh Hashanah. We call it Yom HaZikaron, is it, don't we? In davening. Mekadesh Yisrael. Mekadesh Yisrael of Yom. Yom HaZikaron. I think it's in davening. There's Zikronot. Melech HaKol HaAretz. Mekadesh Yisrael of Yom HaZikaron. Sure, it's in davening. So I understand that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaZikaron. There's Zikronot. What makes Rosh Chodesh the Zikaron? Did you understand my question? Okay. Has anyone ever asked themselves that question before? Why not? You say it every... You understand my point? And they call it a new approach. I call it common sense. And therefore, why is Rosh Chodesh called the Yom Zikaron? Okay? So Kapara is fine. That's the Sela Chatab. I want the word Zikaron. More than that. Uchua Nafshami Atzuneh. How did Yeshua get in there? Rosh Chodesh is the time that we're safe from our enemies? Why do we say, what's this have to do with war and being saved? Understand my question? But in this Nusach Hayom, we have something about Zikaron and we have something about Yeshua. And whoever wrote that knows that. That's the end of Nusach Hayom, because from here on are prayers. We define prayer. That's a request. Rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild everything so that we can bring our covenant again. All that stuff, that's already, we'll go back to that in a minute. What I want to discuss now and share is, why is it clear in Kedushat Hayom that Rosh Chodesh is a time of Zikaron and a time of Yeshua? The answer is so simple. You know the answer? That's what the answer is. Achodesh is Elachem, that's Shmot Yudvet. Okay, so I understand why Rosh Chodesh Nisan is a special day. Remember Yochom Rosh Chodesh? I might even think that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan I should have to say the story of Yishat Mitzrayim. We bring up that possibility of Zeder, don't we? Remember Yochom Rosh Chodesh? I might think I tell the story from Rosh Chodesh. Tamalom Rabayimahu. But why every Rosh Chodesh? I understand the first Rosh Chodesh. Is Rosh Chodesh mentioned anywhere else in Chumash? It's mentioned in Parsha Pinchas. It's mentioned in Shmot. Vayikra, is it mentioned? Is Rosh Chodesh in Vayikra? Where's my P? Where's my P? Remember your P's and D's in your chain. Where's your... You're right, that's why. It's not, I don't think so. How about Bamidbar? Oh, it's in Pinchas. Anywhere else? Okay. Here we go. Didn't you daven on Rosh Hashanah? Remember the Sukkim Al-Fiyot Zichot? Remember that? Now they ring a bell? You forgot what book they were from. Take a look at Sefer Bamidbar. There's a mitzvah in chapter 10 of Bamidbar. There's a mitzvah of, you can look, if you have your mitzvah with you, you can take a look, but it's on the display. There's a commandment in Sefer Bamidbar to do what? I'm at 2. Let's go back a step. What is Sefer Bamidbar really about? What should it be about? Sefer Shmot Am Yisrael travels from Egypt and gets to Har Sinai, receives the Torah. Bamidbar should have been traveling from Har Sinai and getting to the land of Israel. And that's the first section of the book we get ready. The middle of the book, we explain why we don't make it. And the end of the book, we get the new generation ready. That's what the book should be about, and that's what it is about. But in addition to that, every once in a while, we have inserts of laws. that belongs most of them in Vayikra. For example, the Moadim are in Parshat Emor, where they belong, about Kudusha, Modei Hashem. But the Korbanot of the Moadim, for some reason, are inserted instead in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshat Pinchas. Understand? They don't belong there, but they're inserted. Why they're inserted? I call that the Pshat of Drash. Maybe we'll talk about that later. But the Chumash is telling you, the Chumash is clearly out of order. It's mixed up, but it's doing it on purpose because it wants the reader to ask that question and come up with an answer. And if we're mentioning methodology today, I don't think there is ever one answer for that. Because what is the answer? Whatever you come up with. That's a little maybe too postmodern. But God, it's like saying you have the Bechira Chofshi. Because what does it mean God knows what you're going to do? God gave you the Bechira Chofshi. It means what does God know? He'll know that you do what you decide to do. So does God know what you're going to do? Yes. Because what? You'll decide what you decide. Now, back to here. In Sefer Bamidbar, there are commandments that have to do with travel. And one of them is Chatzitzrot. There's a commandment when we leave Har Sinai, have trumpets, and when we have to gather the nation, we blow a tziah. When we travel, we blow a truah. And the Kohanim have to blow, remember? At the end of that commandment, which is the mitzvah l'sha'ah, we have a tack on of a mitzvah l'dorot. That happens often in Sefer Bamidbar. But we have a theme that relates to the temporary mitzvot, the Sefer Bamidbar of traveling. And as we're telling the story of our ancestry, how we leave Har Sinai to go to Israel, parenthetically, we throw in mitzvot l'dorot. Get used to that. That's what happens over and over again. And that's meaningful. At the end of that commandment, we have a beautiful pasuk, which we know by heart, but I set it up with Carol. Take a look. These should all sound familiar because they're in your maftar for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but only a couple months ago. V'chi tavo milchama b'artzichem al atzar atzorerchem v'ari'otem v'chatzitzrot v'nitzkartem lifnei Hashem elokechem v'noshatem elokechem. I'll translate quickly. Should there be a war in your land, some enemy coming, you blow a truah with chatzitzrot, and what will happen? You'll remember God, He'll remember you, look in the Parshanim, right? And what will happen? He'll save you. Now, when you go to a dentist, what do you say? When you go to a dentist? When you have a toothache. That's when you have a toothache. When do we cry out to God? When it hurts. When the enemy comes. But when do we have Sharam Alas at the end of Balchani? Shmonesra is not good enough because we don't have Kavana then. At the end of... It always drives me nuts. There's a Matzei of Tefillah, and when something's really the Daven for Shmonesra is no good anymore, you have to do it when you take off your tefillin. You understand that's when you go to the dentist. But what's the next pasuk? Uv'yom simchatchem uv'moadechem uv'rashei chodshechem utkatem b'chatzotzrot. Why tkiya da v'shuah? A tkiya is a kvesh. It's a screw. That's a toothache. A shuah is normal. A regular... You're not in pain, but it's a tkiya. Like when you blow for a king, it's like an all-clear signal as opposed to an emergency signal. Every siren, universally, is oscillating. It's a truah, up and down and down. And every all-clear signal is always a truah. A tkiya. Sorry. So, on Rosh Chodesh, you blow what do you call the chatzitzrot, on your korbanot, which korbanot? The ones you bring, Parshat Pinchas. What's that mean? God gave us an opportunity to be remembered in a similar way too, to see when you have a toothache, but this is preventive medicine. When I'm talking about national security, sometimes you go to war, and sometimes you have preventive security measures to make sure that war doesn't break out. So, and that you need a regular checkup. Therefore, on a regular basis, what does God do? God gives us the opportunity to call out to Him, not only when you're in trouble, but on a regular basis. And if you do a good job of that, what will happen? You'll get, what's the assumption of our tefillah? If there's zikharon on that day, then there's also Yeshua. But not Yeshua that you see, Yeshua you never saw. The one all the kids' books talk about. What could have happened? You don't realize how God's behind you every single day of the year. But you don't notice it. Now, because of the tzvichut, because of the juxtaposition of these two, in Kedushat Hayom on Shmiras Esrei, we assume not only there's Zikaron, whenever there's Zikaron, there's Yeshua. But this is with the toothache, and this is your monthly checkup. That's the idea? What do I find? I find Zikaron and Yeshua because of the connection. When I blow Shofar on, Roshei Chodesh Shechem, V'tchatem B'chatzotzrot. And therefore, when we say in davening, Zikaron L'chud L'miyu, Tshuat Nafsham Yatzunei, Rosh Chodesh is not a time of war. But it prevents it. Got the idea? Because of this. So my son, again, I'm not 100% sure that's why, because I don't know, we don't know who wrote it, he didn't write how he got to it. But to me, it can't be that that's not the source. And I'll prove this with the Aleph Yod in a minute. But we're putting Zikaron and Yeshua together. Got it? That's a little louder. It's not only on Rosh Chodesh, it's also on other times, other special times in the solar system. Okay? On the spring equinox. And on the, what? If you were living in a country when there's only one harvest crop a year, and that's going to make it or break it for the rest of your year? Okay, but this topic came for Chodesh. The other times? But the Korban, they all have a Sfir L'Chatat. They have a Sfir L'Chatat. Now, why are all the Yom Tovim, why is Rosh Hashanah and Kippur also Zechel Yitzat Mitzrayim and Davening? Because the Parsha L'Chodesh, we'll see. But there's some, they're all connected. We'll see what. Now, is it clear what I tried to get across so far? And you understand the analogy of preventive medicine and crying out? That's perfect. Now, I want to edit, what book, notice they're both in the same book. The Korbanot and Pinchas, which we'll talk about in a minute, and the Pesukim about, what do we call that book? What book are they from? Sefer Bamidbar. The rabbis give it a different name. Chumash HaPkudim. Why is it called Chumash HaPkudim? Because of the boring start? Isn't that why? Because there's a census in the beginning, right? And there's a census in the Mifkad. Anyone who B'nai Kiva knows. And Mifkad is what? When you count people. Is that all? And there's a Mifkad and Pinchas, isn't there? Oh, where's the Mifkad and Pinchas? Right before what? There's a Mifkad and Pinchas, isn't there? Remember by Yachra Magifa? What comes right afterwards? The Korbanot and Pinchas. But there's one little story in between. After the Mifkad, there's Mot Sofchad, okay? And there's another, after Mot Sofchad, there's another story that you don't realize is there. After Mot Sofchad, take a look in your Chumash. After Mot Sofchad, right before the Korbanot on Abdul Musafim, in Parsha Pinchas, that I'm sure you all know. What we read this morning, the Korban Tamid and all the Musafim, it's from Parsha Pinchas, chapter 28. What's the end of chapter 27 about? In Chumash HaPkudim. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu it's time to die at the end of Chumash. And Moshe doesn't argue. Okay, he's ready to go. He's had enough. And but what Moshe Rabbeinu asks, what's his last request to ask God to do? What's he say? He's called, read it for me. You've called Hashem al Kerukh of the Chobatzar, Isha Leida. What's he called mean? To appoint. Pidah also means an appointment. And leadership, isn't it? And the Pakeid is a leader. What do we read on Rosh Hashanah for Haftarah? Hashem Pakeid, what's that mean, Pakeidah? There's a word play in the book. It's not only called Chumash HaPkudim because of we count people. It's also a book about leadership, about Pikud. Because, I mean, God is not counting people, it's letting people know that they count. But that's for high school kids. And for B'nai Kiva. The word... When the rabbis called the book Chumash HaPkudim, there's something going on. Now, let's take a look at something else we said today. And davening, we read Yalav Yovo, didn't we? Yalav Yovo. Let's take a look at Yalav Yovo, which we all know by heart. One of the earliest times we find Yalav Yovo, if you look in the Siddur of Rav Sadigon, the Chatima of Zichronot is Yalav Yovo. Remember every bracha has a Chatima? Remember, there's Elokeinu Kevotenu Melacha Kolam, it's a Chatima for Malchuyot. We have a slightly different Nusach for Chatima for Zichronot and Sofrot. Each one looking in your Machson. Yalav Yovo is a Chatima for Zichronot on Rosh Hashanah Davin. But we also use it on Rosh Chodesh and all the Yom Tovim. Why? We'll show why. What do we say? Yalav Yovo in modern day Hebrew, what's that mean? When you're an MC of an event, and you're calling somebody up, what do you say? Yalev Yavo. It's like, it's jargon today, yeah. Anyone familiar with that? Yeah. When you go there, so you'll see. And the second is Galevi Avo. Now, like, come and accept your reward, come and speak, or come. And therefore, what does it mean? Now, what does Galevi Avo mean? See the word ma? Without any code? I'm asking a question. What are we asking God? What should come up? Okay. Now, the answer is real simple. That's a third grade question. But how many of you ever thought that? If you think about that. Because we just know that we're done with Kavana without Havana. What are we asking God to go up? So read. Yalevi Avo, Viagia. Viareh. No, there's a lot of Viagia, Viareh, Viareh, Vishama. Is that it? Vipakeh. It continues, isn't it? That's what God needs. Vizacher. Zichroneinu, Pichtoneinu. What do we want to go up to God? We want our zichroneinu fiktoneinu. We want them to ascend so that God can hear them. And God, we want God to see them and hear them and listen to them. It's beautiful what we're saying. I was discussing this with Rabbi Forman on the way. He came up with something I didn't notice myself, that yera'eh is really, it's an awesome wordplay. Okay. Why do we say that in Yom Tov? Because what's the commandment about the other regal? Yera'eh kol chorcha. Yeah. What? They're all Korban Ola. What else? The Agia Zaman Bakam is Bea. It's from the Seder. The Yeratzeh. The Tzeh. And Yishama. Shlankalenu. In other words, we want God, but what's going up to, what's going to be our Korban? Not our animal, but what? Zichronenu, Pitenu. And we're part of Jewish history. Zichron Avotenu. Zichron Sheben. You follow? All the Zichronot? Because it's a Yom. Zikaron. This is a day to remember God, to be remembered by God. How do we know that? Because of what? Because of the psukim in Perek Yud, isn't it? Because we hear on Rosh Chodesh, Uvmadechem, why do we say Yava on all the holidays? Because of the pasuk that we just read. Go back, just make sure you remember. Is it up, down, up? No, down. Sorry. What are we saying? Look at it again. וביום שמחתכם ובמתיכם ובראשי חודשיכם, that's our holidays, והיו לכם לזיכרון. Why Yalav Yavah is built on that process? It has to be. How do we know that God gave us these days to be remembered and to remember? Because it's called Yom Zikaron. All the holidays are Zikaron, and therefore we say Yalav Yavah on all the holidays. Is that simple? But no one ever teaches that, no one even notices it. And they call it a new approach. No. Down to, up to, sorry, I'm going the wrong direction because I'm upside down. There we go. Let's look at the rest of the thing. Remember there's Yeshua, which is already a bit of a chiddush, that's Smichut Parshiyot. What do we sing Yalav Yavah? After all these things go up to God, on the holidays, Zochreinu Hashem Elokeinu B'letovah. That's why it's Mamash Matin for Rosh Hashanah. But we know Rosh Chodesh is a mini Rosh Hashanah. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh, is Yom Kippur Katan. You understand why how Yom Kippur Katan came about? Because we know that Rosh Chodesh is Yom Zikaron, it's Zman Kapar L'Chol Tov Adam, therefore let's take advantage and every Rosh Chodesh is get ready, like Chodesh Elul. Now, Zichron Hashem L'Tov, Ufokteinu. Why Zichroneinu? Where did Pidah come in from? I understand Zikaron, I understand Yeshua. Where did Pidah come from? Zichroneinu Pitoneinu. If you know Sefer Bamidbar, that's got to be the reason. Because Sefer Bamidbar connects Zichron and Pidah. Because it's Chumash HaPkudim. It's leadership. Got the idea? Also, Rabbi Forman mentioned to me that he understands Zikaron is looking to the past, make sure, correct me if I'm wrong, and Pidah is more looking to the future. Because we want God to remember the past, and like, if you're worried about like the birth of Yitzchak, Hashem Pokei Tzara for the future. There's some other good examples also. Yitzchak Hashem Ruchot, we want a future leader. We're doing Pidah for focusing on what's going to happen in the future and the destiny, and Zikaron is based more on remembering of the past. But remember what the future needs to be. Pidah, remember what, because of what we did in the past, Zikaron. Now, so I'll finish up Vokteinu Bo Libracha. All of a sudden, look how often we get Yeshua now. Vosheinu Bo Lachaim Tovim. Why Yeshua? We buy Yeshua V'rachamin. V'rachamene V'hosheinu. Yelecheinenu. How do we know that this is a time for Yeshua? Because of the smichut of the psukim, even though there's no trouble, because it's preventive medicine. It's our monthly recall, or sometimes a yearly recall, or sometimes a seasonal recall. And when do we do this? During times of the year which is special because of nature. Because of the moon or because of the sun. Now, with that in mind, that was part one. Hope that's clear. My example, that's why I call it Chidushim on Rosh, that was the title, Chidushim on Rosh Chodesh about Rosh Chodesh. And the idea is that there's a connection actually we have two Bibles. The Siddur is one Bible, because that's the book we live by. Everyone knows the Siddur. And Chumash is the book we're supposed to study. But if you understand your Chumash, you understand your Siddur much better. My whole point is that if you don't know and appreciate your Chumash, you can't begin to appreciate the Siddur. But the people who wrote our Siddur knew their Chumash. And now they knew their Chumash, they assume for some crazy reason that the people using the Siddur know their Chumash. And in light of that, nothing makes sense. If you don't know that, it's like Latin, it's like math. I mean, that wasn't nice for today. That was yesterday. But yeah, you're mumbling a bunch of words that don't make sense at all. If you understand where they're coming from, the goal of davening, the goal of shul is to leave shul. If you understand my point. The goal is not to come to daven and get it out of the way. Check it off. If you daven with havana, not kavana, with havana in addition to kavana, that's transformative, because how you act the rest of the day will be affected by what you said in davening. And the things that we talk about in davening, you've got some reminders. Knowing that you're God's people. Knowing who God is and why you were chosen. Those are the key elements of davening. Now, the next thing that I want to do now, how are we doing time-wise? I totally lost track. Good question.
The expression dichlameo dichlameo is synonymous. Is there a distinction? In other words, how do you translate the word
domain? Yeah. So I mentioned before that in traveling with Rabbi Foreman on the way here, he gave, I think, a very nice distinction, and maybe he'll talk about it when he gets to share, that in his research and his study of the topic, he said Zichronenu usually refers to something that happened in the past, and Tida is about something that should happen in the future. So we're asking God to remember what needs to happen in the future. You promised Sarah to have a child. Hashem pakaret Sarah. That idea. Could be, but it's fine. It's I don't know. You have to look on the other side of the we'll see how Rabbi Sachs did it in his translation. Now back to it's interesting to see how they translate. Anyone have a Sachs sitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. So take a look and tell us how he did it. No, read it. Find it. Yeah. Find it. It's all over the place. Yeah, it'll be over. Tell me when you find it. Let me know. Check it. So, what I want to do next is continuing the Sefer Bamidbar, I want to talk about the Korban we bring on Rosh Chodesh. Okay. We have till 10:30, right, to 10:35. We're fine. You find it? You have the English? What's it said? Oh, yeah.
It's very kind of
okay, it's not good. Yeah. You should be right, for sure. Yeah, the view of it's everywhere, isn't it? I guess it's translated the same way every time. Here we go. It's before Musa. Why am I looking at Mustafa? It's not in Mustafa. So about that. Shachris, there we go. Shalom. It says, Zichronenu Fiktonenu, it's Modim. Our memory and our recollection and memory. Recollection and remembrance. Okay, that's in it. I think it's synonymous. Recollection, memory, but I don't think that's... What's everything recollection and memory? I forget. Now, let's take a look now in Bamidbar. Everyone knows you're talking about Harvey. We read it this morning, didn't we? I call it a shmorg. Why is this a shmorg? What's the difference between a shmorg and a regular meal?
Choices.
So what are our choices on Rosh Chodesh? God's like really hungry. Once a month, like, needs a refueling. And he needs parim. It's like every day is lamb, okay. Yeah. But on Rosh Chodesh you get a par. Ooh, that's like certainly it's good steak. What else? An aisle, a ram, seven kvasim, right? And a selachatat. Is goat meat any better? Is goat meat better or worse? I'm not sure. We have a selachatat. And what else is there? Actually he doesn't like it too much because he lets the kohanim eat it. Doesn't he? What happens with the chatat? Who eats the chatat? What does God? God eats the olah, doesn't he? But the chatat, the kohanim has to eat instead. God just takes the high cholesterol. Remember the blood and the chelev. I call it the high cholesterol goes to God because he's worried about our health, and the rest, according to you. Now, seriously, why these korbanot? Why extra korbanot? So you need more, so just have more good stuff. Why this blend? My claim is as follows. My claim is that the korban on Rosh Chodesh, which is the same smorg every single holiday, the numbers change a little bit. The numbers are usually the same, but they change a little bit. But the basic korban of Purim, one or two, or sometimes even 13, because that's something special about Sukkot. The ayo for an olah, the seven klasim, sometimes they're double, again, on Sukkot. It's always an ayo, olah, and seven klasim, Sukkot they get double, because it's a double holiday. And always a tzelach hataf. Do not a shmorg, because God doesn't need to be fed. There's something significant about them. And if you don't know your chumash, you can't begin to appreciate what they're about and why you bring them. Because if you don't understand your chumash, these korbanot are as pagan as could be. Unless you're a good Kabbalist. A different reason. If you understand your chumash, they're super meaningful. Let me explain why. My assumption is that these korbanot were given after Sefer Bereshit, because there's stories in Bereshit that explain them. And they're staring at you when you study Sefer Bereshit. God doesn't need to be fed. We can't come empty-handed. What we need to do, because we were chosen as God's people, we need a constant reminder of our connection to God. And on a regular basis, we as a nation come before God. That's called a korban. We come close to God. That's like on a regular basis, you go visit your relatives, your friends. You go to their house for Shabbat. Not every day. And you wouldn't be friends anymore. But once a month or so, once every couple of weeks or so, you go and visit your friends. Can you come empty-handed? You can't ask your wife. I go, Safi Hashecha. Let's say you didn't bring flowers, you have nothing. Safi Hashecha. What do? You cover your watch, and you stop and you buy something. Agreed? Right? Without asking a rabbi. Right? Now, it's worse than Pikuach. Because being embarrassed is worse than dying. Now, I heard a word from a teacher. It was awesome. I think from Lisa Shad at SAR. You know the story, just a little, I shouldn't do this, I'm so impressed by it. You know the story with Izebel, when Yehu has Yehu, the general, does his revolt and kills the house of Ahab. So who's waiting for him looking out the window? Izebel, remember the story? But what does the Bible tell us, what does she do in preparation for him? She puts on her shetel, doesn't she? She gets dressed up nicely. What the assumption is, she wants to either seduce him or... That's the way it's always understood. So a female teacher that was teaching it, like I heard it from her student, says she knows he's dying, right? She wants to look good. She doesn't want to be embarrassed. It was so... no male teacher would ever even think that way. You follow? But it was such a beautiful insight. It was like... It was so real. Why do we do that? How do we get to that? There's a reason we got to that.
Being embarrassed.
Okay. They're coming empty-handed. You can't come empty-handed. Now, let's go back to our topic. Because you can't come empty-handed, but you have to bring something. Now, if you're going to bring something, you bring something symbolic. Something that has meaning. You bring flowers. Like you bring candy, chocolate. Don't bring a bag of potatoes. You know, they might need that more. Now, And there's logic to anything you would bring. What do we bring to God? You tell me, without being a big Bible scholar, why would we bring an ayo la'olah? Yeah, Jada, staring at you. Yeah, question? When did Abraham take a ben bakar? On Brit Ben Aptarim, yes. Rashi points out the Brit Ben Aptarim, doesn't he? The animals that Abraham brings, what does he bring? An ayo. The tripart aisle, whatever tripart there. And what else? An egg yolk. Egg yolk, right? There's an egg yolk there. A par, there's some birds. And something else. And there's a chatat. For sure there's a goat. There's a goat. What? And oh, with the balachim also. Okay. So you have all there within the story. But I want to give you a bit of a better source. That's all fine. The brief that I'm trying to have it, but I want to crunch the numbers better. Now, if I'm bringing an Ola, an Ayol Ola makes sense. What's it remind us of? The Akedah. Would you assume that there's some message in the story of the Akedah other than Avram bringing his child? There must be some philosophical religious message of the Akedah. What it is, you can argue for another 1,000 years. You've argued. But everyone agrees there's a message. They argue what the message is. Some yeshivas tell you, this tells you that a divine command always overrides common sense. Because, understand? And it's right there. Because God, what makes Avram great? Because God told him, you know, do this. And even though it went totally against common sense, a divine command overrides. And that's why it's Avram Avinu. It's one time. Other yeshivas say, no, what are we doing from here? Don't think that a divine command could override common sense, because Avram thought that, and God had to teach him he's wrong. And therefore, I always follow common sense, because natural morality can never go chumash, and they'll teach another yeshiva that way. And both are beautiful shiurim, because first you decide your hashkafa, and then you read chumash. That's all. That's Jewish tradition. No. Now I'll take the real answer. No. There's always a tension between a divine command and common sense. And you have to do both. Now, in theory, they should never contradict. In practice, they tend to. Now, what's the answer? What do you do? What overrides? You do your best to do both. What will be? Try your best. Okay? The goal is striving. Not so much. Striving to do the right thing is important. One little cue, something, I didn't think political yet. But the end of that, what's the final blessing? What's God say? V'yiras darachat shar yavav. No, I'll bless you when you get the land. And your offspring are going to conquer their enemies. What's that to do with the Akedah? So I'd like to half in jest and half maybe seriously that later on, Avram's grandchildren that you just promised are going to have to conquer the land and kill the seven nations. Only someone who follows the divine command over natural morality, you know, only divine command overriding natural morality would be able to fulfill that. Again, half in jest and half maybe. But the question is still better than the answer. But why by your asked Arachat Shalvi Vav, what's that to do with the Akedah? Think about it next Rosh Hashanah. Now, back to our topic. Ayol Olam makes sense, doesn't it? The Seir HaChatat we'll get to in a minute, but that's easier than the Ayol Olam. Whenever the nation of Israel, as a tzibur, brings a sin offering, what animal is it? It's always exclusively a Seir HaChatat. Don't ask me Paha Elam Dabas to tzibur, because every Tzadik Chacham will tell you, is that a Korban tzibur or not? The par, you don't know what I'm talking about. A Paha Elam Dabas to tzibur? What? That's the Korban Yachid of the, that's when the rabbis make a mistake, and it's this, we don't take it from public funds. It comes off the salary. Now, I think, is that how it goes? Now, back to, when the nation of Israel, as a tzibur, brings the Korban Chatat, down the line, it's always a Sirla Chatat, on Yom Kippur, every single holiday, Siri Zimachad Chatat, senior sitter as well. Is there a story about that? There's a musical about it. Isn't there? That's Yosef and his brothers. It's staring at you, isn't it? That can't be that just by chance that there's a chatat in the story, with not just the cover up and covering up. It's a story about covering up sin and how bad it is, but also a story of tshuva. We're not making up for their sin. We're remembering the sin and the story and its message. And when the nation of Israel gathers as a nation, and there's always a problem of sinat chinam, and there's always 1,000 reasons for sinat chinam. No one even got that. Yeah. It could also be. There's also a seer there. That's the Azashia. He has to show that. There's a seer also, there's deception there as well. With the series in that could be connected. I just think the musical is much stronger. That's right in your face. The other one is cute. It could be both of them together. But the seer lechatat, it could be that maybe they're both together. I think probably I'm not Tamar. Is there a seer there also? I forget. I think it was the third one, but the Gdi Zin. Oh, that's with the Gdi. With Yudan Tamar. But I don't want that. I'll be that. But that next time he comes, though. Yeah, it's a great seer. I forgot what he said, but it was good. The Seir Lachatat has to be related to that story. And therefore, when I bring a Seir Lachatat, it relates to that. And don't tell me that it's not important when the nation of Israel gathers as a nation, we don't remember our collective sin of Sinat Chinam. No. The Purim is the hardest one, but the seven kvasim is even easier than all the other ones. Why seven kvasim? No, a keves is a default korban. That's the default. That's the bottle of wine. That's the keves is the default. Every day you bring a keves. What's special about the kfasim here is the number. Why seven kfasim? Now, if I then have stories about the other two in Bereshit, okay. So seven is the magic number in Chumash. 7 days of creation. Seven comes up a lot. But is there a story in Bereshit about seven kfasim? With Abimelech, for sure. There's a city named after this. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at the story and what happened to me. Enter. There we go. I'll signal a second. Enter. What happened? Oh, my computer went off. I was talking too long. So my email didn't show up. There we go. So the Akedah, we did. That was simple. Remember, let's go to the Korban. Let's go look at the Korban for a second. Sorry about that. The Parim, we have Parim, Ayok, Vasim, and Sela Chatat. We read this morning. The Akedah, we talked about. The seven lambs now is our next story. Our seven lambs. Now, it goes like this. By chance, we read this on Rosh Hashanah, don't we? How come I think by chance we read this on Rosh Hashanah? Because what's the main lady for Rosh Hashanah? Hashem Pekat Estarah. Because Yitzchak was born on, and that's why we read it. But we don't have enough aliyahs, right? We don't have enough for aliyahs, so we have to add the story. I think exactly the opposite. This is the Rosh Hashanah story. But it's too short, so I have to add Hashem Pekat Estarah, no matter when Yitzchak was born. Now, let me explain why. Because what's the theme of Rosh Hashanah davening? Melech HaKol HaAretz? We want all mankind to recognize that there's a God. You can't miss that theme in the Bible. It's the elephant in the room. There's a theme in the Bible about we're chosen to promote the concept of godliness. Monotheism is a universal theme. Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which I should have talked about with the psukim about we had before. Remember, Ani Hashem Elokeichem is the it's a conclusion which the rabbis learned Nachiot, Zichron, and Shokrot together from that pasuk. It means I'm your boss. And I chose you to serve me. Now, there's lots of stories about Avraham Avinu. And a lot are repeated with Yitzchak, which means they're important. Who does Avraham meet all the time? Abimelech. And Abimelech always has I forgot my movies already. Donkey. Not Donkey. Shrek, yeah. Shrek always travels with donkey, isn't I have it right? And who's Abimelech always hang? Who's the sideman? Shechol Tzartzvo. Why is he there all the time? You ever wonder? So for the Bible codes, we need the letters. That's one possibility. What's the other reason why? There must be something about Shechol Tzartzvo is important as Abimelech's own name. Because I think Abimelech and Shechol represent foreign nations. Because what makes a foreign nation a nation? What do they have? A king. And what makes the king a king? His father was a king. And his grandfather. And his son will be a king. That's where his name Abimelech. And when Abimelech ben Gidon wants to make, that wasn't his name at birth, I'm sure, that he named himself Abimelech after they wanted his father to become king. And he gets into power because he kills his 70 brothers. He's a real power. He knows how to get into power. Abimelech, I doubt if he even spoke Hebrew. I'll get in trouble if I say that. If Abimelech, it's called Abimelech by Tanakh. And Shechol is head of the army, because what makes you sovereign is your kingdom, and if you don't have an army, you're not sovereign. What do they see? Okay? What do they tell from? Elohim Habakwash Yatoseh. How do they know that God is with Abraham? They read the Bible?
They come from the war
with. Is Abram wealthy?
Yes.
Is he successful? Okay. That they know. How do they know that's connected to God? Because not only is Abram successful, what else does he do for a living? Over and over again in the Bible, he's Korei B'Shem Hashem. To the point that the people in Hebron, they call him Nasi Elim Atah B'Tachenu. Right? Abram didn't name himself that. Okay, so God do, but we have the same thing later with Yitzchak. It's not a chiddush, but it's reinforced now. Now it's b'chol Hashem Tosa. Hashem berachet Abraham b'chol. So might be talking about his daughter again, or might be talking about everything he achieved. Now, what I'm getting at is that the outside foreign power and their leader, recognizes two things, that Avram is prosperous, but there's a reason for its prosperity. If I had time, I could prove it from you, from the story of Yitzchak in Parshat Toldot. You'll look it up for homework. What happens in Parshat Toldot? Yitzchak is successful, isn't he? But the other nations of Plishtim and Avimelech don't see a success as God behind it. Instead, there's anti-Semitism. They hate him. And they kick him out. And they call him Dirty Jew. You follow? And he's got to run away from them. And he starts another business. And again, they hate him. Only when does Avimelech come and say, hey, I want to make a treaty with you? Only after Yitzchak is Korei B'Shem Hashem. Look at this forno. In Perach Havav and Toldot later on. A topic for sure, but you can do it on your own. That's still mutter. To learn things on your own. Even though you go to life, it's more important to learn on your own. Read Perach Havav and follow the logic. It's right there on the mark. Avram takes that and takes it to the next, only after Yitzchak, it's Korei B'Shem Hashem, then Avimelech comes and wants to make a treaty with him. But it's only also after he's also successful. And therefore, in order for this biblical plan to work, Am Yisrael has to be successful, and they also have to be Korei B'Shem Hashem. That's called, and God, we do that in davening a lot, I think. Don't we? Hodul Hashem Kiru B'Shmo. We talk about God. That's okay, the Zimra. So if a nation is prosperous, and does well, and is respected, and looked up to, and also talks about God, what will happen? They'll want to make a treaty, they'll want to make a treaty with us. And that's what happened. Avimelech is interested in making a treaty with Avram Avinu. And they make the treaty, and even Avram is Mokhech Man Gezel, he has a positive influence on him, he becomes a role model to learn from, and to establish this race, we have a whole story about seven kvasim, look how it's emphasized. I say Avram, seven kvasot atzon levadehem, and he says, Mahina sheva kvasot, ki sheva kvasot yikach liyadi, bachur tia lireida, and they make a brit in Beersheva, and what do we emphasize at the end? Every Bokhori knows this, from Rosh Hashanah, Vayta Esha Beersheva, Vayka Hashem Avram B'Shem Hashem Kalola. That's Beersheva. That's Beersheva B'Yavot. And therefore, if we bring seven kvasim, I'm assuming it's relating to that theme of the seven kvasim. I'm stuck with one. Yeah. What kubar am I stuck with? Sorry. I don't have that in Breshit, unless you want, is there a part in Breshit? Maybe the Egla, in the Bible Ben of Time, but there's a better one. Where in Chumash is there a korban which is exclusively parim? I want a korban, I want to bring an offering, which is parim and only parim. Remember, isn't parim, if you're going out to eat, or making a wedding, right? You want the best meat. I'm assuming par is always, when something special, you bring a par. The claim, Mashiach Melchama brings a par. Right? Why is the par the most expensive one? It's the best. That's for super special occasions, like weddings and things like that. Now, so that's the par. So, take the, sorry, let's go here. Okay, sorry. Where in Chumash? Is there a time where we bring parim? Right? So parecha, there's more than parim. Right? Let me ask you another question. If you had to pick, what was the most important event in entire Chumash? If I had to pick one event that's the most important in the entire Bible, what event would that be? Mamad Har Sinai, yeah, that'd be good. But the problem is there's no korbanot in Parsha Yitro, is there? Huh? Now, in Mamad Har Sinai, there's no korbanot. How do we know? Because we don't eat milk at sun. The problem is there's also Parsha Mishpatim and your kindergarten teacher who told you something. What did you learn in kindergarten? When did B'nai Yisrael say Na'aseh V'Nishma? When did we say Na'aseh V'Nishma? Right before Matan Torah. Because your kindergarten knew more than you that Chumash is out of order, on purpose. Right? And when B'nai Yisrael said Na'aseh V'Nishma, there was a Kiddush, and it was as spacious as could be. And we'll read that story. Where is it? It's right down here. It's right there. Here. Sorry. The Sirach, I thought we'll get back to. Oh, yeah. See, it's there. Perek Membet. I have not appreciated Membet. Here. But it's still Moshe at Divrei Hashem. Remember, the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Moshe writes down Divrei Hashem. If that's the Korbanot, if it's the Dibrot, you can argue. Then he writes down whatever God said. He sets up what? Oh, a monument once for all the tribes. There's something national here. For the 12 Matzavim. He sends B'nai Yisrael and they bring Olot, like Zuchlis Lachem Shem, Parim. And only Parim, because this is a big event. Parim. Moshe takes Chatzi Adam. And what he do is, how can he put the dam into the big containers? It's called Brit Adonot, isn't it? By the rabbis. Because what do we do with the blood inside the kid? The entire nation of Israel gets baptized. Don't they? Where do you think they got it from? But we don't use water. We do it the real way. What did we do? We did it with blood. Doesn't that happen? That's Pesachet. Like Kach Moshe Chassidim Vezor Kalam. Hinei Dama Brit Hashem Kalat Hashem. Remember Brit Mila, Brit, remember? There's Dam Brit. Look at Pesach Zayin, which just so happens to be 24-7. Vaykach Sefer HaBrit, Vaykva Bot Ne'am, Vayomru, Ko Asher Diber Shem Naseh V'Nishma. And what goes hand in hand with Brit Naseh V'Nishma? Sorry. So again, I agree that's a bit of a kvetch, but it's kvetchable. But I need it. But if this is right, then listen to the Korban of Rosh Chodesh. There's two vertical and two horizontal. Meaning, there's two korbanot that deal with our vertical connection to God, between God and man, on a national level and on an individual level. And there's two korbanot that deal with our horizontal interconnection with other human beings. What are they? The part of the aisle, the most important, the first one, is our national connection to God, Brit Sinai. And I should not be surprised that when the nation of Israel, on a regular, for the preventive medicine, regular checkup, want to remember the connection to God, we do something that reminds them of the wedding. Not the wedding. The wedding.
The wedding?
Why did they wedding? Because Chazal called a wedding, don't they? What mistaket? There's a siyum. What mistaket? Yom simchatov yom? Remember, yom simchatov yom? Yom chatzontov yom simchatov yom? It's the end of Tanit, isn't it? Tanit, machot Tanit. Remember, lo yumam tiv l'Yisrael?
Yeah.
The 2 days, but two baths and the whole, I mean, the 2 days, Yom Simchato is Yom, Yom Simchat Libo. It's got to be there. Remember, once Yom Hakamapit, Matan Torah and Yom Hakamapit HaMikdash. Now back to, how do we get to that?
Wedding,
yeah. The Parim, Har Sinai is our wedding with God. And therefore, I'm coming on an anniversary, on a regular basis, I remember Mama Har Sinai. Because we meet God as a nation. But we're also individuals, so what do? We remember the Akedah. Whatever message you interpret the Akedah, it's important. And it has to do with your individual connection as an individual person with God. Those are the two vertical elements, the par and the aisle. Second klasim is our horizontal relationship between God, between Am Yisrael and the other nations, to sanctify God. And that's Avram and Avimelech. Again, and the whole story about it. And seven klasim should remind you of Beersheba by the Esheb of Beersheba and calling out in God's name. And finally, the Sir Chatan is our intro relationship with one another when we gather, because we always tend to fall into the problem of Sinat Chinam. And I'll say the joke again, there's always a thousand reasons for Sinat Chinam. No. And they're wrong. And now, even better, right? If I want to take this, I want to emphasize the Sir Chatan. There's a beautiful piyut on Yom Kippur about the 10 martyrs. It's a sad piyut. How does it begin? Yeah. But whose fault was it that these 10 martyrs died? Who are you blaming it on? And the feud, whose fault was it? It's a beautiful feud. Some people come complaining to God. They said there was a murder, right? And we don't solve the murder. They never paid for their sin. 2,000 years later, God wakes up and has to pay for the sin. Everyone knows the story. Now, what happened there? Is that the reason why the 10 martyrs died? According to the rabbis, they give a different reason. What do they say? What was the sin? Why? The 10 martyrs are from the end of Beit Shean, from the Great Revolt, and from Bar Kokhba Revolt. 7 years later, half and half, pretty much. The rabbis have a different reason for Chorban Beit Sheni and for Bar Kokhba. Chorban Beit Sheni was, Sinat Chinam. And Bar Kokhba, Shalom Nagu Kavod Zevetzeh, even though they were great Torah scholars. Now, before you're punished, don't you have to be forewarned? Right? Were we forewarned ever? Where does Chumash warn us about the dangers of Sinat Chinam? How terrible it is, and how we have to be aware of that. There's 10 chants, there's a musical about it. You understand? It's not just a story for kids, it's a story for adults, even more so for adults. Because there's always reasons. The brothers always have a good reason to hate their brother. But recognizing through history, I have to learn from my mistakes, Abba Hashemim Anachnu. And also taking leadership and recognizing sin. And that whole process with his life. That's so key. And when the rabbis in that pew aren't giving the historical reason. The pew is there to give exactly that same message. That I'm supposed to learn if the great rabbis would have paid more attention to the story of Yosef and his brothers, maybe the second temple wouldn't have to be destroyed. For similar reasons, the Nadim of Pai Rishon explained what's wrong. So let me conclude with that idea. What I'm trying to get at is that we don't have a Beit HaMikdash today, but we pray, remember, Mizbechadash B'Tzion Tachim? And let's say we had a Beit HaMikdash, we bring the Korbanot. Then we could get away with murder. The reason, according to all the Nevi'im, why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed is because that's what we thought. We thought we could get away with murder, never read Yimiel Perek Zayin, do whatever we want, and come to the house and bring Korbanot and Hail Mary and we're done. In the theme of the holiday season. Right? That the Korbanot don't make up for bad behavior. They're there to prevent that bad behavior. And therefore, if I bring them without Havana, with the Kavana, then they're pagan. If I understand what they represent, they're transformative, and they're Jewish. And I can achieve the same thing in Ushama Prem Sfateinu, the way Chazal understand. We daven instead. But we can misunderstand davening the same way we misunderstand Korbanot, which was the Mikdash, thinking they're magic. If you know the stories in Chumash, there's logic to them as well. I'm not saying there isn't Kabbalistic meaning to them. I'm sure there is, but I can't begin to understand, but there must be something. But there's also a logical explanation for it. If you understand your Chumash and the stories behind them, if I understand that's what Chumash is about, to give meaning to the Korbanot that we bring. And hopefully if those ideas don't tell me they're not important in day-to-day Judaism, and there are regular checkups. That prevented medicine, so we shouldn't have a war. If we didn't brush our teeth, right, and we get a cavity, so then we say Shalom Aleichem. Then we add, then Vyom Ukitavom Mechama Bartzechem. But to prevent Kitavom Mechama Bartzechem, what did God give us? Roshe Chodeshim Lamchanatata. Man Kapar Mechol Todata. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll take questions if we need. We have a little break, and we're picking up in a quarter hour, right? Next year. Oh, I should have, another thing I forgot. It was Hanukkah. I don't want to do the share, but just in one nutshell, okay? Hanukkah, I claim, is the same thing. It's the winter solstice. You follow? Why it's the winter solstice, that's the whole share. You can read the article. It's the winter solstice from Adam of Rishon. And I'm taking advantage of a time of the year, just like Rosh Chodesh is a special time, the winter solstice, and giving it religious meaning, the same idea. The rest already have to read. But I'm sure I know I did that share here a couple years ago. The Chagai share, I call the prophet who stole Hanukkah. You know, the 24th of Tishrei and the end of the year. But you can add that to the same list. Now, happy Hanukkah and happy Sufganiyot. What? How do you turn off?
That's a big one. Very good.
Okay. Yeah.